Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
The Tech Feed. The Tech Feed. With Andy Wells.
On this episode of The Tech Feed, we explore the latest trends and innovations shaping our future. Now, my guest today is Australia's leading futurist, Steve Sammartino. Now, Steve collaborated with Samsung Electronics Australia on the Australians at Home in 2029 report, which offers insights into how artificial intelligence and emerging technologies will transform Australian homes over the next 5 years. Welcome, Steve.
Thanks for having me, Andy.
No worries at all. Now, first, I have to ask, what does the average day involve for a futurist?
Yeah, there's two parts to it. I do a lot of research and experimentation with technology, and then I share those insights through writing, you know, my voice, keynote speaking, media, TV, radio, that type of thing. But just to demystify what a futurist does, we don't predict the lotto numbers. What we try and do is have a look at what we call plausible trajectories. And if we understand where things might go, we can have a plan for each of them. And the lens that I look through is three things. The first is the things that don't change, and that's human behavior. We've got a 200,000-year-old piece of software running through our bodies known as the human DNA, and our desires and needs are really unchanged. So that's anthropology and human behavior. The next part is economics, and that's how we trade goods and services with each other. And then the third part is technology. So I look for the overlap between economics, changes in technology, and human behavior, anthropology. And so I put those three things together, and it gives me a lens on the future.
Well, that leads nicely into, and I guess explains why you are a very big part of this new research from Samsung, the Australians at Home in 2029 report. That's uncovered five key trends that have been identified that are likely to transform Australian homes in the next 5 years, I guess by 2029. Let's talk through these key trends, starting with ambient AI forming the ecosystem of the home. Talk about ambient AI.
Yeah, and I like to use the word ambient because once the technology matures, it becomes omnipresent and available, but not intrusive. At the moment, most of the technology really requires a human interface, us to use our fingers and our eyes, and it steals away our attention from everyday human moments. I think we're about to hit a fork in the road where AI becomes far more human and enables us to get on with our lives. It's always there on the ready, but it's kind of recessive. And what it's also doing, you know, with the emergence of generative AI is that now you don't need to be a computer programmer or an AI expert. You know, the future of artificial intelligence is using human language, creating shortcuts, talking to artificial intelligence to do things for us, for the AIs to look at what we do and suggest shortcuts and ideas and things to do for us and monitor our gestures and our behaviors, even our moods, and really become the fulcrum in our home that makes things more seamless and more human. So we're not giving all of our attention to the devices. All the devices talk to each other. They understand their language and our language and work in this symbiotic way.
So it almost becomes a bit like electricity. It just kind of, it's there in the background. We don't have to think about it, but we would need it.
That's a really good analogy, and I sometimes use that myself. The electricity is there, it's in the walls, and in many ways the AI is going to become in the walls. And in the first instance, it's about devices that are, you know, largely pieces of furniture. Let's think about traditional white goods and the television and the smart devices and the computers. But I think in the long run, and you know, this is one of the trends, the fifth trend is almost like transparent technology where the AI enters the walls like electricity does. It has eyes, it has ears, it can sense what's going on. It actually knows the different people and their different preferences. And so it sits back and does what it needs to do, almost a little bit like a car too. You know, we don't even look at the bonnet these days on a car or underneath that. It just works our needs and what we want. So technology becoming more recessive and more human is really the maturation process. And it's kind of about time because it does feel as though devices have been stealing too much of our attention for too long.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, this second trend sounds interesting. I actually just like the title, Rolling Lounge Rooms, which isn't what I think it is. It's I'm thinking of a couch on wheels. I know it's not that.
I have seen some couches on wheels on the internet and YouTube. It's a wonderful place to see crazy stuff. But I think this is the thing too, is that our cars are becoming more like our houses and our houses more like our cars. So you can see that they're imbued with screens right through them. Again, you talk more and more to your car. We plug in devices to our cars, but essentially they're going to become more comfort oriented. They're going to become all electric. They're going to move towards autonomy, and they're going to change their shape a little bit too. I think in the future we'll see cars that become a little bit more like pods. They can literally change the shape of the places that you sit in. You'll be less and less involved in the car and its driving as autonomy comes online. Most cars these days have, you know, level two autonomy where you have steering wheel assistance and braking assistance, and we're really on this clear trajectory. In some ways, the autonomous vehicle, we thought it would be here by now, but it certainly is going to arrive. And what that means is that your car becomes a place where you socialize, you relax, you're entertained, you do work, just kind of like what you do in the home. And in addition to that, the car has this relationship with the home where you almost continue what you were doing in the house as you move to the car and vice versa. And they know where they are geographically, and they talk to each other and prepare for those trips in a multitude of ways. And the other thing as well is that it's kind of ironic because cars are kind of like rolling computers now. They run on electricity. They're highly ensconced with artificial intelligence and microchips. And so they start to behave a little bit more like a computer. And what that means is that you have this symbiotic relationship. Also, the energy that they use will be all electric and battery. And so the energy between those two devices switches based on what your needs are. Your car will download from your house and then upload to your house. Likewise, the information of the preferences of the person moving between those two places, the lounge room and the rolling lounge room, start to work together.
And what do Australians think of this idea of getting AI into the lounge room?
Well, I think we're already doing it. And that's what great technology does. You kind of, you might be a little bit reticent and say, oh, I don't know if I want AI, but you're already using it all day, every day, right? And the one thing that, you know, it's not perfect, and often people have a little bit of a fear of every new technology. People say, oh, it's taking over. You know, the same with the television, the telephone, the car. And it takes a while to get used to it. The one thing that people tend to be a little bit afraid of is, I don't understand AI. I don't know how it works. How will it work for me? The thing that I kind of get excited about is that we're all AI developers now. And that's not a throwaway statement. If you can talk, you can do it. And we've already seen that with some of the large language models where you can literally write computer code by telling it in English or your preferred language what you want it to do, make, or think. And so AI in your home, you can program your house, almost like train it like a dog. You can literally teach it your behaviors, your gestures. It's very, very similar to that. And that's because we've finally got the technology up those different layers of computer code all the way back to binary, now to what we call large language models, where we've taught the computers to speak our language. When I explain that to people, they kind of get excited. Oh, wait a minute. So you're telling me I can control it, I can code it, I can tell it to do what I want it to do. The answer to that is yes, and that totally changes people's perspective.
Yeah, and then we take that to the next level with this third trend, which is physical AI taking the form of what you call soft robotics. What's the vision with this?
Yeah, and I use the word soft with a sense of duality. In the first one, it's these robots are non-industrial, metallic, scary-looking robots like you see in factories and the Terminator. When we think of robots, it's always what we think of, but it feels now that we're starting to see some robots emerge. And when I work with Samsung, they've got the Ball-E, which is an incredible in-home robot that can follow you around, do things for you, organize stuff, read emails, and you know, put projectors up onto the roof or the wall, wherever you are. But these robots are soft and more human-like and have round edges, and they kind of feel a little bit more biological. But then I say soft in another sense, where it's not just the hard physical metallic robot thing goes away. It's more that they're soft in terms of they have a human understanding and they have inference and they have like almost this emotional take on things. So they're soft in their approach and the way that they work with you rather than following a specific set of instructions or be there, you know, to, you know, robots are always harming humans when we watch the movies. It's a little bit more like the cartoons. You go back to the Jetsons, where the robot becomes your in-home butler. And what happens is, now that we've got large language models, we can teach the robots verbally. And some of the advances in robotics, everything from the Boston Dynamics stuff right through to in-the-home, will end up with soft robots with soft exoskeletons with soft skills that really work with us in that human sense. And that's going to happen a lot quicker than people think, because what you're going to get is the overlap of the physical robotics with the software coming together. It's really going to change things.
Yeah, I feel like we've seen some of that coming out of the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas this year, where we've got some sort of home robotics coming out, which are, you know, there as an assistant, and obviously with AI built in and more to sort of keep an eye on you, almost be your friend at the same time.
Yeah, and there's all sorts of interesting things. You know, it could play with dogs, or you could get your robot to walk around the house and check it out for you when you're not there. So there's all of these parameters that you go, oh, that's actually quite handy. You know, the robot is a security device, a robot that can, you know, feed the dog or play with the dog when I'm not there. And it actually has this real human element to it. So, yeah, and it was pretty good to see that bubble up. And the capabilities already there, and you'd know this well, Andy, it's the future is sort of almost already arrived. And like the great science fiction author William Gibson said, he said, the future's already here, it's just not evenly distributed. And so that's always the thing, isn't it? It's only once we start talking about it and seeing it that we go, actually, this is the kind of future I might want to live in.
Right, I love that. I love that statement. It's not evenly distributed. How true. Let's talk about trend four. This is, I think, very relevant now, given discussions around sustainable power and how we use energy. Trend four deals with energy management and AI, where your home is a mini power plant. Is this about using AI to help us do more with the power that we have?
Yeah, I think it's twofold. First of all, once you have AI ensconced in all of the devices that use energy within a home, it can move it around far more efficiently and make sure the right devices are working at the right time and not using more energy than we need. You know, many estimations are that, you know, up to 60% of energy used in a home is actually wasted. You know, cooling and heating rooms that don't need it when no one's in there. It could learn your patterns of where you go, heat up the rooms at the right time, you know, washing cycles at the right time when energy's cheapest. I mean, all of these simple things AI can do a lot better. And we wouldn't have the wastage. It's got a real strong efficiency doctrine. But the second part of it, which is probably more important, is that we're going to have our houses as power plants. And what I mean by that is we're going to see a massive decentralization of energy. And it's akin to what happened with personal computers and smart devices, is that computers for the longest time, you know, for the first 30, 40 years, were big industrial things that were centralized in military, government, and university institutions, and then they became democratized and spread out. We're going to have that with energy as well. And instead of having centralized energy, we'll have decentralized energy. And your house literally becomes a power plant with photovoltaics, which are also made of the same stuff as microchips. It's kind of interesting how silicon is pervading our whole lives. Basically, every flat surface in your house captures energy. We store it inside our house. And here's the crazy bit, a little bit like what happens on the social web, we share our content, but what we have is an energy internet where our content is energy. If we generate more than we need in Melbourne or Sydney, we send it to the other states that need it, and we trade energy with each other through a decentralized system in the same way that we trade content with each other now. And we have this thing called the energy internet, and you can really see that starting to emerge. And also with the car is just a really big energy device with wheels on it, really. And now that they're both going to be running on battery and electricity, you can capture energy when your car might be parked at a solar farm during the day at work and then charge up your house when you get home and vice versa. So you're going to get this system where energy is more efficiently used and it's produced and distributed at the local level. And the improvements in battery technology and energy capture with solar PV are really extraordinary. So we're going to see decentralized energy. And I think in the long run, as a futurist, in the long run, we'll have zero marginal cost energy. You'll just have one-off setup costs.
That sounds brilliant, of course. If you can cut down on wastage of energy, it does, I think, solve a lot of problems. Now, this final trend makes me think of the Tom Cruise movie Minority Report, because you're talking about transparent TVs. What does this look like, transparent TVs in the home of 2029?
Yeah. Well, they already exist, and they'll be in business and entertainment settings first. Imagine a piece of glass which slides up, and it is very Minority Report, where you have a quasi heads-up display through a thin piece of glass where you can put high-resolution images on glass as and when you need it. And then when the moment you don't need it, it goes away and you can see right through it. I mean, the great way to imagine this is watching a sporting event or a concert, you know, where you can see things close up on the screen or statistics or replays, and then, you know, the screen clears up and you can see actually what's happening in front of you. But the longer view of that is that TVs become very thin films of plastic or glass, which you can just move onto a different wall. Your windows that we have in our house will eventually generate energy and be web connected in TVs. Every flat surface will be a connected device where you can see the outside world or bring anything onto your screen that you want to see. And so it's funny that you mentioned science fiction, because science fiction becomes science reality. You know, we can only create the things that we imagine. And once we imagine them, then weirdly we start creating them without even realizing, by stealth. And so, you know, the idea of technology not being a clunky black piece of furniture, but being something that is ensconced in the walls and simple and non-intrusive, follows on from that ambient AI trend, where the technology is just there, but it isn't a big chunky thing that we need to pay attention to. It's there when we need it and wherever we happen to be inside that home.
Right. Now, Steve, I was going to ask, like, as a consumer, what should I be thinking or doing right now, considering these emerging trends? But I think you've just answered that. I don't need to do anything. It's already kind of on the way. It's going to be here. It's going to be part of our lives, unless you've got another answer for that.
Well, no, you don't need to do anything as a consumer. But there is one thing, Andy, that I think is really important. Mm. I think when a new technology comes along, it's a little bit scary. And you and I, we study this stuff all day, right? And even us, we're like, wow, because it's changing so quick. But the piece of advice I give everyone is, just experiment with the technology and have a little play with it. And there's two reasons. You'll find that it isn't that scary once you have a play with it. And you can learn a lot more than you think you can. And this AI revolution is very kind, because it's very language oriented, which means that anyone can do it. So play with it. But then once you play with it, you get a chance to shape it. So if you're the consumer that's playing with it, by stealth, the early adopters are the ones that shape where the technology goes. So the more you play with it, the more you get a chance to design the world that you're going to live in. So if you do those two simple things, I think it holds people in good stead, not just to have a comfortable home, but also, you know, take little steps in their career and be that person that knows a little bit more. And I think knowing a little bit more about what's coming and how you use it always helps us in our lives and our careers.
Yeah, that's a good tip. Finally, Steve, when you were working on this report, did you come across anything that you thought was unexpected or some surprising findings, especially around attitudes to AI?
Yeah, the thing that came to me is that people weren't really that scared. You know, that I was surprised that people are not as scared of AI. And the reason that happened is they say, well, I'm using it every day. I think people know that they're using it, and they seem really excited by the ability to shape it. You know, the one thing that everyone is excited about is they all felt excluded, like AI is used on them. The one thing that all of the people I spoke to said, I'm really excited about when I get to design it and shape it, like when I get to speak to it and frame it. It's not just a piece of software that gets given to me. And in many ways, it's a lot like happened with social media. You know, back in the old days of media, it's like, here's the three channels. Hope you like what we gave you. That's what you get. But then as soon as we handed the tools of production to people, we get all this, you know, boundless creativity of things that we didn't expect. And the world sort of fragments into all of these global niches. And I think people are excited by the idea that they can use AI themselves rather than having it used on them. And so that was really positive. That was a positive thing that came out of it.
The Tech Beat will now terminate. Visit techdaily.com.au.
Now, for anyone who wants to dig deeper into the Australians at Home report, it's available. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to link to it at techdaily.com.au. Steve, thanks again for joining me today.
It was an absolute pleasure, Andy.